Coming up on today's show.
I feel like we're in a time right now where all the genres are becoming, you know, music soup anymore. It's like there's nothing in any genre that is can be pegged and say, yeah, that's definitely in that genre. It's almost like genres are about to fade out.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from West Pennsylvania, my guest is a Nashville recording artist and country singer-songwriter who released an album last August that premiered at number 10 on Apple iTunes Top 40 Country Albums chart and was hailed by Fox News, Billboard, People Magazine, Forbes, Men's Journal, and more. He is doing a nationwide tour this year with dates every month through and including November. He is also working on new music with some very notable names in songwriting. He has over 1 million streams on his top 5 songs on Spotify, where he has approximately 21,000 monthly listeners, and his official YouTube channel has a combined total of 8.5 million video views. You've been hearing a song of his called Caught Up. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Wei Jennings.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing great, doing great. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me, bro.
You bet, you bet. Let's get started by having you share first all about the song of yours that was just playing called Caught Up.
Caught Up is a song that I wrote with my buddy Wes Shipp. We met early last year at a hotel in Columbus, Ohio, and we sat down and wrote a bunch of songs. But he said he had a line he was trying to work with. He said, getting caught up and trying to keep up. And we sort of looked at each other, and I went, uh-oh. Because, you know, we're both very, very loyal to our women. And I have a beautiful wife. He has a beautiful fiance. But, you know, we write them love songs all the time. But the first thing I told my wife was, you know all them love songs I've written you? She said, yeah. I said, well, this ain't that. So once we wrote it and we sang it to our wives, they actually loved it. So we knew it was going to be big if they had a sense of humor about it. So would the rest of the world.
Now, walk me through that meeting. I think you said you met at a hotel room in Columbus. What were the circumstances of that?
Well, me and Wes, we both had pretty tight tour schedules, you know. So we don't have very often that we're close enough to each other to get together and write. But he lives in Ohio, and I moved to Pennsylvania about 5 years ago. So we were both kind of off the tour. So we just met kind of in the middle from where he lives and where I live, and that happens to be Columbus, Ohio. So I rented us a pretty nice hotel room. We went out to dinner, took our wives out and all that stuff. And then we got into a hotel room and went to writing. And we wrote half that album, honestly.
Whoa. Was that a unique environment, though? And you felt a little different going into a co-write knowing that you were doing it in a hotel room?
Well, honestly, it's not so much where you write the songs, it's who you write them with. You know what I mean? It's whether you have charisma with the person you're writing with or not. And me and Wes have always figured out how to make magic happen when it comes to writing songs. We've only recorded a handful of them, but we've written together probably about 20-25 songs, and I'm still digging through them to put a few of them on this next album. So
it sounds like you're saying we could be sitting on the back of a pickup truck, or we could be on my front porch. It doesn't matter the location, it's just the chemistry that he and I have and the years and the songs that we've written together.
That's the truth. Yeah, we could be hanging from a rope off the side of a cliff and still make magic happen.
There is a music video for Caught Up that was released in January and already has more than 2.2 million views on it. I watched the video this morning. I got to say, I loved it. First question, who plays the girl that we see in the video? And then also just walk us through, you know, who produced the video? Where was it shot? How long did it take? All those behind the scenes details.
You know, I really wish I could remember her name right off the top of my head, but she is a great actress. My videographer, he does a lot of like still motion pictures and stuff. He's got a company called Unveiled, and he does a lot of like dance oriented videos, and he works with a lot of great actresses and dancers, and he brought on all the actors for that video. The guys that are in it are both videographers themselves, you know, and then the girl that's in it is a dancer and an actress. And she did a great job. I was floored. I mean, I was like, she did an amazing job. She made that thing come to life. It was really fun.
Where was that shot?
It was shot in Nashville.
But explain to me about the decision to go with actors as opposed to, you mentioned your wife, you mentioned your co-writer's fiance. I think a lot of artists, their knee jerk is, I'm making a music video, I'm going to put my spouse, my girlfriend, my sister, somebody in my family, a next door neighbor, a friend in it. Talk about that decision to not go that route and just say, let's just outsource it.
Well, don't get me wrong. I try to get my wife to do things, but she's pretty camera shy. She likes to be on the other side of the camera. I've had my daughter in a few of my music videos, my youngest daughter, and I've had my manager in a few videos. But at this point in my career, I was trying to do as much professional actors as I possibly could, professional sets, and I was just trying to go all out for this project because I believed in it that much, you know. The music was great. All the videos on it have been great, and I'm just more than proud. I just got a great team. My videographer makes magic happen, and that's where God led me on this one, man.
Yeah, and I remember way, way, way back when, probably this show was maybe a year old, and Dominic Pages was a guest on the show, and he said, a song is like a 4-minute movie for the blind. And while that's true, and I've always liked that expression, as you said before, with the girl who's in it, just the great job that was done in the production of it, the video really makes the song come to life. I think it adds kind of a whole new layer in terms of the visual interpretation, yes?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like I said, my videographer, me and him work together. We got good chemistry together. Just the same kind of chemistry that I've got with everybody I work with, honestly. If you don't have good chemistry with somebody, it makes it difficult to do your job. But me and my videographer, we get to cutting up on set. We get to bouncing ideas off of each other, and we just somehow make magic happen. But on this one here, I shot my parts, and I told him, you know me as well as anybody. You know what I want. Let's make it happen. And he pulled the people together and he made it happen. He said they got together and they had the greatest time on set, and they sent me all the footage that he had. And the hardest part about that video was leaving the footage out that we had to leave out. You know what I mean? It could have been a whole movie. It was great, man. I was like, man, this is just a big pile of great is what this is. So.
But Wei, I love this story because you're opening up a perspective that I think maybe some artists don't consider. If it's their music video, the tendency is to assume, which is always a bad word, that they need to be on site for the entire thing. And you just really gave a great testimony to trust. Look, this is someone that I've worked with for a long time. He does great work. This is what he specializes in. I got my part shot. I'm going to leave. He'll send me the footage and I'll go over it another time, but I don't need to be there looking over his shoulder.
Well, that's true. I trust him with all my heart, man. I do. He's really a great guy. He's not only my videographer, he's one of my closest friends. He's an amazing guy to work with. He's really good with people. He has a vision in his mind. He's an artist in his own right. You know what I mean? I'm a musician. I'm a performer. And I have a vision of what I want. I explained to him what I wanted and he made it come to life. And it's best to stay in your lane when you're doing all this kind of stuff. I always have the final say on things, and there's been a few times we've had to go back and do a few things over. But this time right here in particular has been, you know, I'm really, really proud of Gio, man. He did a great job. And, you know, I'd do it again. You know, I really would. I love the guy, and he's really got a great vision. He's a very talented guy.
Nicely said. Nicely said. An audience, obviously, do please go on Wei's official YouTube channel and look at the official music video for Caught Up. That song is from the album that, in the intro, I mentioned was released last August. Amazingly, back in 2019, Wei, you released a live album and would go on to record and release 3 EPs. But what you put out last August is actually considered your first full-length album. Tell us all about the project, where you recorded, who you worked with on it, all the details.
Well, I recorded with a guy named Gary Carter, and we recorded over at Danny Parks' house. He's got a studio in his house. It's top notch. I mean, it's amazing. And Danny Parks and Gary Carter are very well known in the music industry. You know, Gary Carter's a very talented steel guitar player and producer, and Danny Parks is actually the lead guitar player at the Grand Ole Opry. My buddy David Wade introduced me to these fellas, and the first time we met, we went to the studio. I was very, very nervous. You know what I mean? And I was like, the project we come out with was top notch. It was great. But the second time we went into the studio, we was doing this full length album, and we was all like a bunch of friends in there cutting up, man. Mm-hmm. It came together in a way that I knew God touched this project. You know, He gave us everything we needed, and it was like, it was pretty much like recording with a bunch of friends, and a lot less business and a little more play. You know, it was pretty fun. I just enjoyed that project from beginning to end. I mean, it's really been something that I enjoy doing anymore. You know, I've spent a lot of my career just out putting out music, you know, as cheaply and as off the wall as I possibly could, you know, just for people to hear my voice. But as I grew in my career and I started, you know, looking at this more of a business than just a way of having fun, and I started acting more like an adult and started realizing how people who do this for a living do it, I started doing more of that. And I've really gotten great relationships with the people that I work with now. And it's really more enjoyable now than it's ever been. It's kind of crazy. The less you try to party, the more you end up having fun. It's been amazing to me.
Wow. Wow. Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. Folks, the album is called Jekyll and Hyde. There's 12 songs on it. And as I said, that is considered to be Way's debut album. The song Jekyll and Hyde, just tell us about that since it is the title track.
Jekyll and Hyde is a song about facing your inner demons and what happens if you don't keep your inner demons at bay, you know. Wes wrote 90% of that song. The only thing I wrote on it was the bridge. And I was just like, man, this encapsulates this whole project. Because I don't know if you know this about me, but, you know, I used to be pretty wild, and I've been sober now 5 years. And that's why I have sobriety songs on here, songs about chasing your inner demons, songs about my relationship with God, songs about trucking. I went deep into everything that matters to me in my life on this album. And true love, and it's probably why I take it so personal when it comes to this album, because it's really me laid down on a disc, you know?
Mm.
And it's just the best thing I've ever been incorporated with, and the people I was able to work with to make this happen, all the way from the writing to the videos to the recording to the mastering to the all of it, the artwork, my label, my family. It was all just an amazing experience that I'll cherish my entire life.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And people are going to look at the song list and they're going to see the 12th and final song is Hallelujah. And they're going to say, is that the Leonard Cohen song that he's covering, or is this something that he did on his own that's called Hallelujah?
It's a cover song. It really is. But it's also a song that saved my life. You know, like I said, I went to rehab about 5 years ago. And while I was in rehab, I was given two choices. They said, you can go through this regular rehab or you can take a spiritual path. And on the spiritual path, I got to know my preacher really well in there. And I carried my guitar around with me, which I don't play a lot of guitar. I sort of noodle on it a little bit. But it got me to where musicians were coming up and talking to me. And we got to talking about music and all this. And my manager had asked me to learn how to sing Hallelujah. And I wasn't really sure why she had done it at the time. But I'm glad she did, because I learned it while I was in rehab. And when I got out of rehab, I incorporated it into my show. And I call my kids up on stage to sing that song with me now. So it's really become an amazing experience for me. Every night I have at least one of my kids up there with me singing it. So, you know, that song, while it is a cover song, is a song that has really united my family in a way that I can't even explain, you know.
Beautiful, beautiful. Some new tour dates for me. We are in the final days of March, which means that I'm going to be in Chicago for Podcast Movement Evolutions, as you've been hearing me mention for some time now. And then from there, it's on to what I call the real city that never sleeps, as I will be a speaker at the Las Vegas Writers Conference. That's for writers of literature, poems, books, etc., not music. And by the way, that event is April 3, 4, and 5. You can still register by going to LasVegasWritersConference.com. I am extending my stay there, though, once that event is done, because the NAB show will be starting in Vegas. That's the National Association of Broadcasters. So if you are attending that and or will be in Las Vegas, let me know so we can meet. Plus, May 7th and 8th, I will be in Miami Beach and will be speaking at the B2B Marketing Expo / the Business Show. I have not made my hotel arrangements yet, but my guess is I will arrive on May 6th and leave on May 9th. Go to b2bmarketingexpo.us, and tickets are free. So I'll hope to see you there. I will actually have a booth there for Now Hear This, my PR agency. Get in touch and let me know if we can meet somewhere out on the road so I can say a personal thank you for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. Wei, just to continue what you were talking about, I read a statement that said that your songs reveal real-life stories of how you have come to terms with and recovered from your checkered past of too much partying led by a drug-fueled lifestyle, the sentence said. Was it a difficult decision to go public with all that and say, I'm going to put my past into my lyrics? Meaning, does the ego try to step in and say, fix the problem, but then keep it quiet? No one needs to know what you battled with.
No, honestly, sobriety gave me the tools I needed to destroy my ego for the most part. I mean, there's one thing you can't do to yourself once you get sober. You can't lie to yourself. You can't lie to other people. And I owe that, a huge part of that, to my mama and dad. They told me you can be anything you want in this world except a liar and a thief. You know, and I'm just not going to be either one of those. And to lie to myself would be worse than lying to anybody, you know. I know the path I took, and I know that, you know, getting as close to God as I've gotten over the years, I know that a story of redemption is a story that needs to be told, because it gives other people hope that they can do that, you know. For me to just say I'm sober and then just set it all down and walk away from it and think that that's enough would be crazy, you know. I want to put out songs about my life. I want to talk about my life. I want to let other people know that even if they're not ready right now, they might be someday, and to not lie to themselves and tell them that they can't do it or they don't deserve it or that God don't love them or that they've done so much that they can never be forgiven. That's all not true. You know, if I can do it, literally anybody can do it. I was on all the drugs. I was doing all the drinking. I had all the immoral thoughts. I was not a good human being at all, you know. And when I gave my life to God and I changed my ways and I discovered what integrity really truly is, that's when it became very apparent that I couldn't just sit back and act like none of that happened. I have to own it, and I have to go out there and tell people that this right here doesn't define me. This right here did define me for many years. But today, I've broke free of that. I've been forgiven by God. I've been forgiven by my family. And I've been forgiven by myself, you know. In order to truly move forward, you have to admit you did wrong. You have to admit that you had a problem. And then you got to go get help. And then you got to move forward from it. You can't look back and regret over and over again. Because once you've been forgiven, that's a clean slate. And once you have a clean slate, anything is possible.
So reset the timeline for us then, because I had mentioned earlier that in 2019, you released a live album and would go on to record and release three EPs. So just remind us of the timeline of your sobriety, because what I'm after is, were you writing original music that was different before you decided, I am going to start putting this past of mine into my lyrics?
Well, yes, but, you know, at that time I was putting my present into my lyrics, you know. I'd never been a liar. I've never been a person to hide who I was and what I was doing. I had an EP called Gypsy Soul a long time ago. It was after that live album. It was a live album, and then that was recorded at the 40th anniversary of the Dukes of Hazzard in Nashville, and I was still on a pretty rough path at that point.
Okay.
And then after that I did Gypsy Soul. And I promoted that, and I was still on a rough path at that point. And then I hit rock bottom, and I went to rehab and got and changed my whole life at that point. And when I come out, the first EP I put out was If It Wasn't for the Sinning. And at that point, I was sober. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to change the world with my lyrics. And I probably went too far in one direction with that EP. I mean, it was a great start. It really was. But It was like, I've got all the answers and I can save the world. Everybody listen to me, you know? And it was like, okay, I need to not do that. You know, there's no way you can be this bright shining light right out of the gate, you know? And then I did Just Before the Dawn. I got a little bit m further away from my addiction at that point, and I was pretty comfortable in what I was recording. I wasn't just completely confident enough to go out there and try to make a stab at a whole album. I definitely wasn't financially sound enough to do that. But that EP there changed my life for the better. You know, Just Before the Dawn got put into a movie. It was really the biggest viewed video I had other than Leave Me Home at that point. And then we did the full album, and that's where I'm at today, is I'm right past the full album. So if you go from Gypsy Soul to If It Wasn't for the Sinning, that's where the crossover is right there. And then from that point, I've been sober for the last 5 years.
Praise God. Praise God. Incidentally, I introduced you as calling in from West Pennsylvania, but you're from Texas, yet you record in Nashville. I'm a little confused. Take us through that, and I guess maybe why don't you live in Nashville?
From the time I was born to the time I was 20, I lived in Grand Prairie, Texas. And then I moved from Grand Prairie to Lubbock. And from Lubbock, that's where I learned how to be a man, started working for a living, and kind of grew up a lot. And then my mama got sick. I went back to Dallas, and I took care of her until she passed away. Before she passed away, she asked me to do something in music, and I told her I would. And then she passed away, and I had to keep my word. So I threw myself at the wall, see if I'd stick. And, you know, people started coming out to the shows, and I got big-headed, and I started partying, and I started hanging out with the wrong crowd, and just running around doing shows and just getting wasted for years, you know. And then I met my wife, and I hit my rock bottom with her, and I thought I lost her for one at one point. And I went to rehab, and she saw me trying to get better, and she came back, and we got married and had a baby, bought a house. And we've, you know, been together ever since. And my career has done nothing but grow since I started living like an adult and stopped acting like a kid.
Well, there are going to be lots and lots of people coming to this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment because they are fans, they are followers of yours. But I have been fortunate to get listeners from 166 countries around the world over the 11 years of doing this show. So there are actually going to be some folks just learning about you. And in particular, I want you to just continue this backstory of yours because, audience, I want you to understand what Way is kind of mapping out for you. You didn't actually first begin singing and performing live until you were 30 years old.
Yep, 30 years old. Yeah, I worked in a whole different kind of life until I was 30 years old, and I started doing this. And a lot of people wonder why I don't play guitar, and the reason is because I never planned on being a musician, you know. And then I learned how to sing before I learned how to play guitar, and then I went back to try to learn to play guitar, and it was very difficult to try to sing and play guitar when the only thing you're used to doing is singing, you know. So at that point, I stopped lying to myself and realized what my strong points are. And I started being a front man, vocalist, singer, songwriter, recording artist, you know. And I hired a bunch of really great musicians to play the music while I, you know, perform on stage. And it's been a really great algorithm for it. You know, we have a great time out there. Crowds love us. I get everybody out of their seats and then set them back down, and then back out of their seats and then set them back down. And it's just wild. I mean, it's really crazy how fun my life has become, and it's just something I'm very grateful for. And I know it's not anything I do on my own. It takes a really strong God. It takes a really strong family and support system. It takes an amazing band and team, and it takes a great fan base, man. It's just, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this, and for everything to turn out the way it does is really a blessing from God.
I would say, though, that, and I'm going to put this in the form of a question to you, you didn't do too well playing guitar because you started into it so late. If there's someone listening right now who's 16 years old, who's 17 years old, and is hearing you and saying, "See, I could just be a singer," would your advice to them be, "Oh, no, you're young enough. Learn the guitar also"?
Oh yeah, man, I'd say learn the guitar first. You know, I mean, that's the way it should go, you know. You should learn how to play guitar and then learn how to sing and play guitar and go straight that way. It's going backwards that makes it hard. It made it hard for me. I'm not saying it's not possible, I'm not saying I'll never do it. You know, I'm not ever taking it off the table. You know, I love playing guitar around the house, but it's like trying to concentrate on the chords and the lyrics for me whenever I've already, you know, filled my head up with lyrics is hard because I know the lyrics to a lot of songs, you know. To try to learn the chords on top of that, I'd probably send myself over the edge. But, but you know, I would recommend to any young person who wants to do music for a living to learn an instrument, then learn songs, and then go on about it. But I could be wrong about that because I'm not a guitar player. Like I said, for me, I learned how to sing, you know, and I learned how to keep time, and I learned how to, you know, how to hone my craft is what I learned how to do.
And you're also not a drummer. Did I read that there's some misinformation out there that people, for some reason, have themselves convinced that you're a drummer?
Yeah, I know why they do, because, you know, because my story is my first introduction to music was I went to one of my grandfather's shows, and I looked up on the stage, and I seen this giant drum kit with lights just beaming down on it. And I told my grandfather, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So he got me a drum kit. And I just crawled inside the bass drum and rolled down the stairs in it. And it hit the wall and it shattered. And that was the extent of my drum career. So, yeah, for some reason, somebody thought I said I was a drummer when really I was just a fool rolling down a, rolling down a staircase in a bass drum.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from West Pennsylvania by Nashville recording artist and country singer-songwriter Wade Jennings. Visit his official website at wadejennings.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You heard him talking about his album, Jekyll and Hyde, from last August. There are lots of links on his website to get his original music from the likes of Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, the iTunes Store, and more. There is no shortage of opportunities to go see Way perform live. Look on wadejennings.com for the long, long list of dates and locations for his nationwide tour. At the time this interview is being released, he is headed to Arizona for 5 shows. The first one, March 28th, and the last one, April 6th. Although in between, there will be a show on April 4 in Ramona, California. Social media-wise, look for the logos on wadejennings.com to go follow him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you're looking to connect with me, there is a platform called Minect. M as in Michael, I-N-N-E-C-T, kind of like connect. It's actually an app. You can send me questions on there and either get a text response or a recorded video response, or you can book a time for us to have a one-on-one video call through their app. The fastest way, in my opinion, for you to take advantage of this is I have a link tree, and of course that's linktr.ee, and then /nowhearthisinc, and of course that's H-E-A-R, linktree/nowhearthisinc. Hit me up on there and I'll be happy to be in touch with and help you. Way, we talked a lot about your album from last August, Jekyll and Hyde, but as I mentioned in the intro, you are not only writing new music, but doing so with some really notable names from the songwriting world. Can you share some of those names as well as where things are at relative to a potential new project that this is all presumably headed towards?
I mean, I would love to drop names right now, but we're sort of early in the process.
Okay.
And we've written about 30 songs.
Whoa.
And I'm only going to be cutting 12 to 14 of them. So, I mean, I'd really hate to throw out names if the song don't make the cut, you know?
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I've written with Westship. I've written with Moose, a guy named Moose Brown out of Nashville, David Wade, Tyler Booth, Kayla Ray, Karen Waldrop, Earl Bud Lee. I said I'd hate to mention the names, but I just went ahead and just threw them all out there now. But mostly I've written with Wes Shipp, as most of them, and David Wade, and a lot of other writers, you know, Mark Taylor, Shane Grove, Michael Curtis, and Billy Lawson. Look them all up.
Do you have a projected release date that maybe you're focused on in terms of the songs that end up making it, when that release will come out?
The album probably won't drop to the end of the year. The first single
Oh.
should be out around, because we usually release three or four singles and then drop the album. So we got a little bit later start this year than last year, but we should be in the studio in April, and then by May it should be all done, and then we'll get the artwork done. So I'm going to say the first single should be out May or June. I'm going to say maybe
Okay.
April, but I'm saying May or June to be safe, probably.
Okay. An audience amongst all those names, one of them that I keyed in on that Way mentioned is Karen Waldrop. She's been a guest on this show a couple of times, actually. And Jim Moose Brown, his name gets mentioned by lots and lots of guests. And yes, by all means, as Way said, look up some of those others because very big names that he's been writing with. When it comes to songwriting, Way, I think the temptation would be for everyone to assume that you have just been influenced by the notable music family you come from, but can you tell us who else has impacted your style over the years?
Oh, there's so many people, man. I grew up listening to my mom and dad's record collections, man, and they all had a huge impact on me. They grew up around and listening to like that 70s music, the rock and roll, the country, the back when the music was so pure you could, scoop it up with a spoon, It was just I got so many people like modern day. My influence has been probably like Jamie Johnson, Travis Tritt, my grandfather mostly, of course, and Hank Jr. But I've also had like influences like, the band, Led Zeppelin, Lynyrd Skynyrd. I've always been influenced by good music. I mean, it's hard to put names on. I could sit here and just rattle off names of bands all day long, but there's only two kinds of music out there. There's good music and bad music. I'm influenced by the good music. I mean,
Okay, but I'll put you on the spot and say, are you influenced by good music from genres that you don't write in?
definitely. I mean, I'm more of a Southern rock guy. I've always loved Southern rock. I like blues and rock and country rock and blues are where my vein is right there. My whole goal whenever I started doing this was to mix Waylon Jennings and Lynyrd Skynyrd and make something out of that.
I like it.
That was my whole goal, and what it turned into was even more than I expected. I got some rock and country songs out there, but I don't like to stick in one style either. I got rockers, I got ballads, I got fun little boppy songs, I got love songs, I got patriotic songs, I got addiction songs. I mean, if you look at a lot of artists, they pretty much stay in a lane, but I'm all over the damn highway. I'm just whatever I'm feeling at that moment, that's what I'm writing about, I've never been able to just sit down and make up a story and write about it, I've had to have understood it some way or another in my life in order to make it believable, because it's hard to make anything other than the truth believable. So I've always tried to stick to the truth now, but like Caught Up, that was a fun song. That was easy to make something up about right there, but like One Folded, I have a lot of family and a lot of friends who have witnessed or experienced their families dying in war or fighting for this country and giving a folded flag, Like Jekyll and Hyde, I've definitely had to fight my inner demons. 10-Day Run, I got a family full of truckers, so 10-Day Run was easy. Farm life, I grew up on a farm. There's been a lot of different reasons to write a lot of different songs. I've never tried to be in any kind of genre, but me being Waylon Jennings' grandson puts me in a genre right there. But the thing about it is I get to grow in that genre and change that genre into whatever I want it to be,
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I admire you for not saying, I just wrote a song that's very personal that means a lot to me, but I guess I can't record it because it's not Southern rock. I take my hat off to you because it could get very easy, as you said, for the industry to dictate to you, no, they've got to all be in this genre. This one isn't that, so let's throw that one aside. And you're saying, I don't care if it's a good song and it means something personal to me and I can really connect with the lyrics that I just wrote myself, then I'm recording it. I don't care what label you put on it.
Exactly. That's the way I feel about it. That's the way I think it should have always been. I mean, to think, I never understood the idea of genre anyways, Like my grandfather, the way he molded his thing was he listened to his kids' music and found out what his kids liked, And he incorporated it into what he liked, and it changed into what it changed into, And that's any artist. any artist that says, hey, I'm in this genre and this is all I'm ever going to do, they're lying not only to themselves but to everybody else too, you know. I can't say there's not a song in every genre that I didn't hear and related to, you know. It's not all about the genre. It's about the message in the song, you know. And the message is pretty well, they get deep here and there. Like, I just heard a song called Monster by somebody not long ago, and that song hit me like a ton of bricks.
Whoa.
I was like, and that's definitely not a genre that I'm in, you know what I mean? But it was a great song, you know. It's just, I feel like we're in a time right now where all the genres are becoming, you know, music soup anymore, you know. It's like there's nothing in any genre that is can be pegged and say, yeah, that's definitely in that genre.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like genres are about to fade out, you know, and it's just going to become music, you know.
I like that. I like that.
You never know. You never know what the future is going to hold. All I know is I record music that means a lot to me. I'm not going to record a cheesy song that I don't believe in. But I will record a really deep song that maybe only I believe in. You know?
Well said, though. Well said. I have mentioned a couple times that you are touring nationwide in 2025. What can people expect when they go see you perform live, meaning both the makeup of the band that you'll have on the road with you as well as the songs that you're playing? Is it all Wade Jennings originals only? Do you do any of your grandfather's songs? Do you do any other covers? Just describe for us what all of that looks like and sounds like.
Well, it depends on the night, depends on the show, and depends on the run and a lot of, because I could have anywhere from a 5-piece band to a 3-piece band. It just, you never know, you know. It just depends on the budget and all that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the songs I do, I always pay homage to my grandfather in my shows. I'm never going to go out there and not give everybody at least one or two Waylon songs, you know. I do a bunch of my own songs. I like a few upbeat songs of Lynyrd Skynyrd's that I throw in there. It just depends on the night, you know. I might throw a Marshall Tucker song in there. You never know. But for the most part, about 90% is original, and the rest of it is either Waylon or Lynyrd Skynyrd or somebody else I enjoy, you know.
Okay. As we get set to wind down here, I just think it would be great for you to talk a little bit about the tenets that are central in your life, meaning God, family, country, and sobriety, because let's face it, it can be quite easy for people to look at a music career through rose-colored glasses and say, aren't the most important things to him selling records and playing stadiums and festivals and doing great merch and ticket sales?
When you first get into the music business, everybody got these high hopes. I'm going to be this multi-billion-dollar artist. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to be selling out stadiums and all this stuff. And you got just, you know, the old adage, I don't know if I can say this, but, you know, SD and R&R, you know?
Mm-hmm,
you know
mm-hmm.
how it was back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody that gets into this gets in it for that, but I wanted to party when I first started my music career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then I grew up in my music career, you know, I started growing up as a human being. I went out and I realized that there's a lot more important things out here than just blowing your life away, you know, like my God. God, as long as you do right by God, he'll do right by you, you know, but you've also got to do right by yourself. You got to have integrity. You got to have good morals and values. You got to always do the right thing, you know. You got to realize that there's kids watching you, what you're doing, you know. And that's the part that struck me right there. As I'm looking at this world today, and I'm seeing, you know, cuss words everywhere, and I'm seeing all this other stuff, and I can tell I'm getting older because I feel a lot like my dad, you know what I mean? Going, ooh, look, watching these kids go through these minefields, you know. And it's like, I just want to be a good man. I want my kids to be able to listen to my music when they get older. I want my grandkids to be able to listen to my music because my kids allow them to. I want people to look back and realize I was a good man, you know, that I did a lot of bad things when I was younger, but, you know, I searched out how to be a better person, how to be a more godly man, how to be more family-oriented. And, you know, I put those things first. It's God, family, country, and in that order, you know, after that, career, you know, but you got to have a career to take care of your family. You know, it's just, sobriety is a huge part of that. I'm a strong believer that, you know, when you put things in your body that alter your mind, you're no longer you, you know? And I know that because a lot of things that I was okay with before, I'm 100% not okay with now, you know? And the only thing that's changed in me is I gave my life to God. I took all the drugs and alcohol out of my body, and I started treating people right, you know? And I started treating myself right. I started eating right. I started trying to stick around so my kids would have a father. You just got to make it there in your life, you know? We're all on our own paths, and everybody's on a different one in a different place and time, you know? Some people are ready, some people aren't. But when they are ready, you got to realize that they're putting forth the effort. You can't condemn people for what they did in the past, you know, because people change. And when people change, you got to be able to recognize that, you know, and that's where forgiveness comes in. You got to be able to forgive people for things they may not have wanted to do back in the day and maybe didn't even realize they were doing. You know, it's all about integrity and having a good moral and value system, you know, and asking for forgiveness and admitting when you did wrong, you know.
That's powerful. That's powerful. And on a similar note, on November 1st, you released a music video for your song, One Folded. It has over 1.2 million views on your YouTube channel. It's a powerful song with the hook being, you'd never disrespect our flag if you'd ever been handed one folded. Way, I watched that video this morning and I started to wonder, did he just get some stock footage of a funeral, especially an American flag draped over a casket? And then I saw you in there putting your hand on the casket as the pallbearers brought it down the steps, people crying inside where the casket was. How in the world did you pull that off? And by the way, nicely done. What an emotional, what a powerful video.
Like I said, everything on this project, me and my videographer made some wild stuff happen, you know. We went to a military cemetery, and we got just a little bit filmed before they told us we had to leave. So we left. We had a funeral home that the people were more than hospitable with us. They supplied the casket. We brought the flag.
Wow.
We called in a bunch of extras and got to know them before we filmed this. So we felt like we knew each other because we did know each other. And then we just put all of our heart and soul into it. We got the right people together, and we made the thing come to life, you know. Like I said, every one of these music videos, we went at it like it was a movie. We wanted it to be as real of a movie as possible so it moves people. And that's what needed to happen for One Folded, because that was the most powerful song on the whole album. It was the most serious song on the whole album. And that's one thing I believe everybody in this country needs to realize, you know, is that, you know, without this country, where are we then? You know what I mean? What other rule would you want to be under? Because you look around the world, you're going to have a government to answer to one way or another, no matter where you live, you know? Is there another one you'd rather answer to, you know? Or would you rather be American and realize that what we have here is special, you know, and it ought to be respected? And just because we have the right to disrespect our flag, and we have the right to disrespect people, and we have the right to say what we want to, we have all these rights, don't mean we have to use these rights to do wrong, you know? Like I said a minute ago, integrity and good morals and values will show you the direction to go when it comes to our country, because there's been a lot of people fought and died for this country and didn't come home, and their families were handed a folded flag to put up on a mantle at their house for them to stare at for the rest of their lives and think about their loved ones. So when there's people on the news taking that same flag and setting it on fire and stomping on it, how disrespectful is that? You know, that's pretty disrespectful. And a lot of people don't even realize what they're doing when they're doing that. And that's what I wanted to accomplish with this song, is I wanted people to see what they may not see, you know, that just because you may think that you're right while you're doing this, there's a lot of people who are going to interpret that as not right in any way,
yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
Audience, do go to Way's YouTube channel and watch the video for One Folded. And we are going to close with that song. But Way, I just want you to continue talking about the song itself a little bit more, and we'll leave the video for people to go and watch. But I wonder, where does this devotion to patriotism come from? Is there military history in your family that I'm not aware of? Or is it just American pride itself? Just talk about that inspiration, because clearly you are someone who is very, very committed to our country.
Well, you know, I was given the opportunity when I was younger to join the military, and I was in a place in my life that didn't allow me to do that. You know, I couldn't pass a urine analysis. I really wasn't in the right place in my head, and it's something that I've always regretted, you know. I was a very selfish young man. I'd worried about myself and my party and chasing women and all this other stuff more than who I actually was and where I came from, you know. And when I got older, I asked myself, who am I? You know, who am I and what does that mean? And, you know, I am Wade Jennings. I'm from the middle of Texas, you know, and Texas is in America. And America is what allows me to make the decisions I make because I'm free here, you know. And I have my grandfather and all my uncles on my mom's side were all in the military. They all came home, became truckers. And I have a cousin who just retired from the Coast Guard as a chief. He was in there for over 20 years. So I had family, mostly Army, some Coast Guard, and a couple Navy. But it was all on my mom's side for the most part. And I have an uncle on my dad's side that was also in the military. But, you know, that's anybody in America. Anybody who's in America has relatives that either served this country or are serving this country or fought and died for this country. And that should be enough for you to ask yourself if what you're doing is right when you're disrespecting the flag, you know? Like, you can be upset at our government. You can be upset at whatever you're upset with. But when it comes down to it, the people who fought and died for this country, and they ain't got nothing to do with that. They're the ones who went over there and stood on the front lines and fought people so that you could live over here free and disrespect our flag. You know what I mean? And it's something that bothers me, you know? And I think it might be because I've gotten older, a little more wise, you know? Because I remember when I was young, all that didn't matter to me as much as it does now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now that it all falls on me, and my parents have passed away, and my grandparents have passed away, and I'm the oldest, you know, I realize now that it's up to me to teach my children right so that they don't make the same mistakes I made when I was young, you know?
Yeah. I imagine that song was a co-write, but at the same time, because you are so passionate about it, did the lyrics come very quickly? Was it a song that you wrote pretty fast?
This song was written by a really good friend of mine named Michael Curtis. I actually co-wrote I Would Die with him off this album. But that song right there was written by him and Marty Rabin. And when I heard it, I wanted it. And I was like, that is a song people need to hear. And they need to hear it out of my mouth. And he said, you're right. Take it, record it, put it out. And I was like, yes, sir, I sure will. And I did. And I put that one out, and I put Home out. I think I'm trying to get another one for this new album to get two. But the whole thing is that everybody keeps telling me you don't want to put out a replica album of the one you put out before. So you need to touch on a few more things on this new album. But, you know, between that one and The Gun, I think people know where I stand when it comes to this country, you know? And that's just the way I am, man. I'm never hold back. You know, I'm never bought into, you know, political correctness. I've always gone with what I think is right and what I think is wrong. And that's just all there is to it.
Wade, God bless you for that. Congratulations belatedly on the album. Can't wait to hear the new stuff that's going to be coming out. And best of luck with the nationwide tour in 2025. It's been wonderful having you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. Hope to see you around sometime.
Absolutely. Likewise. Likewise. And with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to Nashville recording artist and country singer-songwriter Wade Jennings. Do visit his official website at wadejennings.com. As I mentioned before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You heard him talk today about Jekyll and Hyde, his album that he released last August. He has made it really easy on you to get it. There are lots of links on his website to get his original music from the likes of Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, the iTunes Store, and more. Remember that there are lots and lots of opportunities to go see Wade perform live throughout 2025. Look on wadejennings.com for the long, long list of dates and locations for his nationwide tour. Currently, he is headed to Arizona for 5 shows, the first one March 28th, the last one April 6th, a show in Ramona, California in between along the way, April 4th. Social media. This morning, I followed Way on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and I'm sure he would appreciate you doing the same. Way back in the intro, I mentioned that his official YouTube channel has a combined total of 8.5 million video views. Outstanding. do hit the subscribe button there and then watch and like the videos that he has posted. For that matter, tell Way you heard him and his music on Now Hear This Entertainment. I really appreciate you tuning in to the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you're still with us at the end of the episode, I'm guessing that you're enjoying what you're hearing, so thank you for sticking around. If you would like to show your appreciation for the work I put into making this show happen week after week, year after year, 11 years with no breaks, I've got an easy way for you to do so. Head over to nhte.net, where you will spot a bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button. It's not a sponsor, and there's no brand behind it. It's simply a way for you to send a little support my way with a personal message that I will see. Alternatively, you can go directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. Your support means the world to me, and I thank you in advance. That's going to do it for episode 580. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Way Jennings. This is the one he just talked about. It's called One Folded.
Man, I thought we were through with this. Then I watched the evening news. There were folks that still wouldn't stand for the old red, white, and blue. At first it made me fight and mad how they think that that's okay. Then I thought they just don't understand, and given a chance I'd say. Have you ever been there when taps was played or for a 21-gun salute? Had to hear the words you never want to hear? Have you ever had to face that truth? When a son or daughter didn't come back home to a family so devoted, then you might not disrespect our flag. If you'd ever been handed one folded. Have you seen a heartbroken mother or a father fall to his knees? Been there when a family got the news that your freedom wasn't free? Have you seen a flag-draped coffin? If you did, how'd it make you feel? To know a soldier died to give you the right to stand or kneel. Most of us are immigrants, proud to call America home. And I'll stand for the red, white, and blue, even if I gotta stand alone. Cause I've been there when taps was playing for a 21-gun salute. I had to hear the words I didn't wanna hear. Yeah, I had to face that truth. When a son and daughter didn't come back home to a family so devoted, you never did. If you'd ever been handed one folded, you'd never disrespect our flag. If you'd ever been handed one folded.